Good morning, and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys. It's good to be here with you guys this morning.
Yeah. I'm getting so tired of me.
Look into that.
Thank goodness there are wise people around me.
You know, that is actually the sign of a good leader, somebody who puts wise people around them.
I know.
Wiser people around them.
Just to bring you in on the discussion this morning, we're sitting here again on the computer being technically challenged, and it was just a matter of not pulling up the right screen, you know? And, wow. There's definitely a mind difference between a Mac operator and a PC operator.
Yes, a Mac operator, you just kind of intuitively do what you need to. A PC operator, you have to be a little bit insane.
Yeah, I think so. Because, I mean, Mac, I navigate that computer just fine. I mean, I just like to.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I was watching this baby video. I mean, you guys would have enjoyed it. And there's this little baby, probably about, 9 to 10 months old, right? She can sit up. Maybe she's a year.
And program your computer?
Yeah, right. But she's sitting up, and she's trying to put this straw into this lid. Now, the lid has a hole, and mm-hmm. you know the straw is supposed to go in the hole, right? Mm-hmm. And so she keeps trying to get it in the hole. Can never do it. Finally, she just hits the cup and throws the straw in complete and total frustration. Now, she can't speak at all, but it's just blah.
So your radio show computer is your...
My straw.
Your straw and cup. A little more expensive when you toss it across.
Yeah, right. Hey, well, we're glad you joined in with the wise guys, trying to be at least this morning. And I'm happy to be here with Tuck and with Aaron. And we just are here to encourage you. We have Dr. Richard Ruling coming on with us at about 8:30. We're looking forward to that.
Oh, by the way, happy. Why the heck do we even have a Memorial Day post day?
Is it a post day?
Well, it was yesterday.
Well, I know. That was a great day. Man, perfect weather over the weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I saw this news article flash before me saying somebody was talking about, why do we even have a Memorial Day? What's the purpose of it?
It was
on one of the military radio channels or something.
Wow.
And it was like, you're a moron.
Wow.
Do a little bit of historical study.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's all about your perspective, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'd kind of like to talk about perspective today. Many of us have gained perspectives over the years, whether they're true or false, right?
Mm-hmm.
From your own history.
Look at what they're being taught in schools today.
Wait, we still do that?
Well, that's what I mean. They don't teach it, not like when we were in school.
Wow.
They don't teach history the same way because you were told what Memorial Day was, what Independence Day was, what Labor Day was. It's to celebrate certain things. Memorial Day is to celebrate all the deceased soldiers, male and female, who had died in battle.
Hmm.
You know, that's what Memorial Day is. You're memorizing them.
And most of the time, our young people, we many times died in battles that weren't really defending the country, but defending the the pockets of the elite and those who are rich and wanted the war to happen anyways.
Yeah, could be.
You know, I think one of the only really few righteous wars we were ever in was World War II, where we were trying to stop the spread of a worldwide takeover.
Yeah.
You know, but
well, and two of them actually at that point, by the time we got into it.
Yeah, right. But, you know, one of the interesting things I was drawn to, and just in case you were at all worried about us over here, I want to thank you for worrying about us and thinking, because if we mention this next thing, we could have our doors busted down and people coming in and arresting us. So, I mean, you might see Rollin, Aaron, and Tuck going to jail. So do we dare even?
Right. So if you stuff? So if the radio goes silent in the next 2 hours, it's either we got hauled off away or we dropped something on the computer.
Yeah.
One of the two.
You know, but
probably more likely the latter.
But don't get too carried away. You know, there are people that have sometimes hey, Roland, you know, why are you talking about that stuff? You're supposed to be talking about biblical stuff. Yes, we are going to be talking about biblical items, because I'm a firm believer that if we're not in the Spirit, we're out of line. And if we not put Yahweh first, scriptures first, again, we're out of line. But sometimes, you know, we're called to be watchmen and at least help tell the truth to help people know what's out there, and or at least start to research the truth. Maybe that's the better word.
Well, also, one of the first, you know, instructions that Yahweh gave Adam and Eve is tend the garden.
Guard the garden. Take care of it.
Take care of the place around you, the place you live.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, there is a bit of biblical responsibility to how we interact with the authority over our land.
Right. You know, and I do believe we should respect people. I do believe we should try to live in a peaceful manner.
Mm-hmm.
But I also believe that we're called to call out unrighteousness.
And sometimes be a David.
Yeah. Or, you know, or an Elijah or a John the Baptist.
Well, I was thinking, you know, the warrior David.
Right. Yeah. You know, he took a little slingshot to big old Goliath.
Well, and then when he started, you know, working for Saul, he did a little bit of warring.
Yeah, he did.
For years, for a long time.
But under the Spirit, and we got to remember that. Under Yahweh's Spirit.
It wasn't just, hey, I'm going to go out and just do whatever I want. And in that, no, it's got to be under, you know, the right direction. Yeah,
you know, when I think about Elijah and John the Baptist, they'd walk up to a king, you know, or a leader and say, you know what?
Call him out.
You've sinned. You know, but we thought we'd share this, and we're not going to take long at all, because I really want us to get into the identity of who we are in Messiah.
Yeah, and, are we Elijah? Are we John the Baptist? Are we David?
Yeah.
Are we, you know, whatever?
What are we?
Yeah.
You know, but I was, my soul and my spirit was bothered when I saw this person sentenced. As most of us know, there's the January 6th committee going on that. And they're trying to still continue to keep people in prison and to drag them into this, even though there wasn't a single weapon found on these people when they did the January 6th so-called riot. But one of the people that has just been sentenced by a judge, his name is Stuart Rhodes, and he's the founder and leader of a group called the Oath Keepers. And so I thought of that. I was going, Oath Keepers. I mean, that seems like a nice name. I mean, it's not like a terrorist-sounding group.
Hey, the Democratic National Committee also sounds like a nice name, too.
I know, right? They call themselves the Guardians of the Republic. And This guy was given 18 years in prison, and why that threw me just a little bit was
he went and brutally murdered and slaughtered people, right?
No, not even.
Oh, he stole thousands of pounds of gold.
Nope. I thought you were going to say he stole deep secrets.
Well, that was where the next place I was going.
No, none of that.
Oh. What did he do?
Trying to figure that out.
Yeah, we were trying to. Thanks, Todd. They say that he, quote, stormed the Capitol building with all his Oath Keepers. But
you mean the People's House?
Yeah, the house we already own, and the doors were left open, and the policeman walked away.
Is that the same one that I walked through in 2003 and just walked through it? I mean, you know, yeah, that one.
Anyways, I thought we'd give you just a quick perspective. We're not going to go down there, but I challenge you to look them up. They got into this because they felt like they should protect people that were going into events.
Mm-hmm.
So like Aaron or Tuck, like if you were to go to a speaker event that's being put on by a conservative Republican, you might be met with BLM people or Antifa people that are trying to intimidate you, that are all in black and covered and throwing bottles at you or rockets at you or like that. And so the Oath Keepers would come and they'd surround you and protect you as you could make your way in and out. So I looked these guys up.
So kind of a free private security, almost. I mean,
kind of.
that kind of an idea.
Yeah, okay. they like to be called the guardians of a republic. They do believe that there's a world order that's coming about, and they do believe that America is lining themselves towards that world order.
What recently named king is one of the leaders of that?
Yeah, I don't know. We probably better not say.
Okay.
But I'll give you their Ten Commandments.
Hey, Charles, how you doing this morning?
Charles. I haven't been called up a lot. That's interesting.
I know, right?
Common name, yeah. Kind of like the king.
Oh, yeah, that's – yeah.
That's right.
Charles,
yeah.
Charles the one, is he the first?
I don't remember what number, but yeah.
They had a King Charles before, I thought.
Well, Aaron was showing me the picture of Stuart Rhodes. He's a lawyer.
Well, that's not a ringing endorsement.
No, but at least he's not. I mean, he knows his stuff. He knows the law, I would hope. I mean, you would think.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, he's not a street thug.
No.
Well. Maybe he is, but he didn't look like the street thug.
No, he didn't look like one. You know, you show me a picture of this guy. He looked really scary and not.
Right? Yeah. Looked like your average, you know, thinning hair, white American middle-aged man. Yeah, that was his look.
Okay, so let's look at their Ten Commandments. And we're just going to give you these just so you know. Well, when I first looked this up, I could not find anything positive about the Oath Keepers because they're all left-wing media.
All the news articles
were
saying how bad
scary they were. This group was. Mm-hmm. And then I actually found out that they haven't really done anything other than call for action for people to stand up against bad things that our government's doing. So let me give you the 10.
Okay.
And you tell me if this is a constitutional right or not.
Okay.
So the first one, we will not obey orders to disarm American people.
Bill of Rights.
Oh, yeah. So that is there, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Number two, let's see if we can.
Okay.
We will not obey orders to conduct warrantless searches of American people.
Yeah, Bill of Rights.
Oh yeah. They have to have a warrant before they search us?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Okay, these guys are far right. We will not obey orders to detain American citizens as unlawful enemy combatants or subject them to a military tribunal.
Constitution and Bill of Rights, I believe.
That's right. Yeah. We have the right to an immediate trial, mm-hmm. to face our accuser, all this kind of stuff. But a military tribunal, you don't get to face.
No.
Number four. We will not obey orders to impose martial law, or a state of emergency on a state.
Constitution.
Yeah. Number five, we will not obey orders to invade and subjugate any state that asserts its sovereignty. So take, for instance, that happened here in Oregon, mm-hmm. okay, that we have a sovereign leader all of a sudden put over us
yes.
with no rights.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Number six, we will not obey any order to blockade American cities, thus turning them into giant concentration camps. That has to do with our freedoms, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're all supposed to be taken to a concentration camp, mm-hmm. or they close us off?
Yes, we are supposed to. Yes, you're right. Yeah.
We will not obey any order to force American citizens into any form of detention camps under any pretext. Wow. That just substantiates number six. We will not obey orders to assist or support the use of any foreign troop on U.S. soil against the American people to keep peace.
Constitution.
That is Constitution. Nine, we will not obey any orders to confiscate the property of the American people, including their food or essential supplies. Wow. That's the right of freedom and liberty.
Yeah.
The government
that's Constitution,
doesn't.
Right.
That is the Constitution because mm-hmm. they can't take your food away from you.
Mm-hmm.
We have the pursuit of happiness.
Right.
Ten, we will not obey any orders which infringe on the right of people to free speech, peaceful assembly, or petition their government for a redress of grievances.
That's number one on the Bill of Rights. Amendment number one.
And so this is. This landed him 18 years in prison?
Oh, absolutely. I'm surprised. He got off easy. I mean, that should have been 1,800 years.
Well, I hope that we're still a country in a year and a half.
When
a new president is in power and they can go against the.
This is amazing to me.
Tuck just said something really interesting there. When is the next election? About 18 months from now.
Yeah. Hopefully, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, if they decide to have it.
If we're still around as an organization.
Oh, my.
This is fascinating to me. So,
that just goes to show that it's the narrative that they throw out there.
Well, imagine the narrative against John the Baptist.
Yeah.
That right winger from the desert. He had camel hair on.
Mm-hmm.
He ate locusts and honey. And he came right up to the chariot of King Herod and pointed his little bony finger at him. And he made him fearful for his life.
Yeah.
Even though he is surrounded by Roman guards. And Herod was shaken in his chariot.
He stormed the palace.
He stormed the palace. We need off with his head.
Off with your head.
Off with his head.
I'm sorry, people.
There's nothing new under the sun, man. No. There's nothing new.
No.
What are we going to do with this? Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to go ahead and put our focus where it's supposed to be, right? I'm looking at Psalms 81 because these are the times that we live in. And you wonder about this stuff because does this sound vanilla or does it sound strong? Okay. I don't know. But we're in Psalms 81, okay? And it's a song.
Well, of course you would pick a song.
Right. Sing for joy to Yahweh, our strength. Shout joyfully to the God of Jacob. Raise a song, strike the timbrel, the sweet-sounding lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, and on our feast day, for it is a statute for Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob. Is that our warrior? Does that sound like being a warrior?
Well, you had to listen close, I guess.
Well, you brought up David earlier,
mm-hmm.
and you said he went out and fought armies.
Yeah, for years when he was working for Saul, and then when he became king, he was still, you know, fighting for I can't remember how long it was there, but he was in battle for a long time there before he had peace.
Yeah, well, these songs are put together by David.
Yeah,
this is interesting. You know, so he must have thought there was something to this thing. Look at this other one. Hear my cry, O Yahweh, give heed to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to thee when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I, for thou hast been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy. Let me dwell in thy tent forever, refuge in the shelter of your wings. That's Psalm 61.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a big, strong, you know, tyrant of a warrior.
But he was. What, Saul had killed his thousands, but David had killed 10,000s?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty big warrior.
Right.
Okay. Took down Goliath, the biggest giant of all time, mm-hmm. in his age, yeah. that is. Wow. So where do you find your strength? That's the question, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we always talk about this concept of what's our identity. Well, can you know your identity if you don't have any security?
I would say no.
Why?
Because you wouldn't have the strength to back up your belief.
Oh, of who you might be.
Yeah.
I like that. I either have my security in myself, and I'm only 5'10 and just under 180, so I don't think I could take out anyone too good.
Well, you could take out some little kids, yeah. you know, but that's kind of a bad thing.
I would give him credit for more than that.
But if you think about that for a minute, so if my security is in myself, my identity could definitely be robbed mm-hmm. because my security isn't, from my understanding, isn't overly strong. But if my security is right. in Yahweh.
Yeah, because if you was in yourself, you would know your own limitations, and you look at somebody else, you don't know their limitations. They may look all strong mm-hmm. on the outside, but, you know, be a girly man, actually. But you don't know that, because if you're thinking, I'm not that strong, and they're going to be able to beat me. But if you have that belief of, no, my strength is not in me. My strength is in my God, my Creator.
Aaron, mm-hmm. question.
Uh-oh.
What gender is a girly man?
Don't even bring that up.
I'm really? you really want me to go there?
You know, but the reason I think, you know, because you bring up this Oath Keeper thing, right? And at first, my first response to this is I'm really discouraged knowing that our government's this corrupt to take down a group of people that seem to have the best interests out for America. Okay?
Right.
And so you're going, okay, so they're able to get, they're able to put people in prison without a speedy trial. Without a normal hearing.
Right, because when was that January 6th thing? It was like last week or something.
Yeah, really close. Yes, somewhere. Yeah.
People. Oh, so you're multiple years.
Yeah.
Ago.
Wow. Yeah.
I know, right?
Wow.
Because it wasn't 2023.
And so where's the speedy trial? Where's the face of your accuser? Where's the evidence?
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know.
There is none.
There is none. And you compare it to other things. So you're going, okay, so what does that have to do with my spiritual life? I think if my spiritual life gets defeated and I lose my sense of security, my security's in the wrong thing.
Yeah.
If I see these things and I put my security in Yahweh, I know that Yahweh still has a plan for me. I know that to be true if we read Hebrews 11. Let's just go there for a moment.
Okay.
We might have just a couple seconds. And we're going to be down towards the end of Hebrews 11. And I want us to see that there are many people who stood up against evil for years. And they never saw the kingdom. Look at this. We're down in verse 35, 36. Well, no, that's going up to 32. And what more should I say? For time will fail me if I tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings, scourgings, and yes, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and ill-treated. What are we going to do? Hang tight. We'll be back.
Welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hello, welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the Wise Guys, and we did forewarn you.
We're challenged.
No, we talked about a tough topic. Remember, Aaron said, if all of a sudden we lose connection.
Yeah,
oops. Let's see if they can hear us now. So hang on tight before I make a call. We're going to send this out, and we'll see if we get this back. We're just sending out a couple questions to see if they hear us before I try making a call out. But right now we're having a big circle going, yay, we are on. Awesome. So now we're going to go ahead and see what we can do here in adding some people back onto this thing. And we're going to make a call out and see if we can get our guests to come back on with us. Okay? So you guys hang on tight, and we'll see what we can do. We have Dr. Richard Ruling coming on with us today to talk about prophecy. And then we're going to be covering still our security and our identity in Yeshua, knowing how to live these last days, which I think is really important for us to do. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
I think so. So let's see if we can get the good doctor to come on with us. Let's give him a call right now. Please pick up your phone. Let's see how that goes. You guys get to see it transparently. Good morning, doctor. Are you on with us?
I'm here.
Hey, there we are. Dr. Richard, how are you, sir? It's good to hear your voice.
It's good to be with you. I can't tell you how much.
Well, if we were going over a topic that we had even forewarned the people that were listening that we might get some dead air time with the Big Brother sort of thing. And sure enough, we got disconnected. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it had to do with anything, but I'm just saying. Anyways, we are glad that you are here, and it's been a long time. When was the last time that we talked with you?
I think it was early April.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had some problems here and then unable to reach you. And, you know, we like having you on because you bring us up to date on some prophetic literature called the Bible, right?
Amen. Amen.
So tell us, sir, I mean, first off, how has life been treating you? You had made some moves and you're at a different location now. Is that correct?
That is correct, and the devil's in the details as far as how many count it all joy when you fall into a pit of tribulation. But anyway, I don't have internet at my new location, and I'm talking to you outside of a community center, senior center, basically, where there is Wi-Fi. So anyway, praise God for opportunities, and I believe this is a really important stuff that we can share today.
I am glad, but just be thankful you're there. One of our last people that we interviewed was all the way up in Wyoming, and they had to go up to the top of a mountain in the snow-covered caps, put their phone up in a five-foot diameter, and how they reached us. So I think Wow. The senior center is going to give you just a little bit more service.
Amen.
So tell us what's on your mind, sir. Bring us up to date.
We were talking about the seven seals, and we saved the seventh one for the 1st of May. But I want to deal with that the second half of our time today. But the first half, my wife's first question of the day is, what time is it? And I'm seeing that God has three time clocks, okay? And Peter says, speaking of the day of judgment, he says, be not ignorant. 1,000 years is like a day. A day is like 1,000 years. God is not slack. The day of the Lord will come. Mm-hmm. Day of the Lord being not when he comes in the sky necessarily. The book of Joel has 5 references to day of the Lord, but no second coming that I can determine. Mm-hmm. And the book of Daniel has 5 references to time of the end, but no second coming. I think they're the same thing. That last 7 years, just like Joseph told Pharaoh, 7 good years, then 7 bad. I think this is the year to start the bad years. And I almost might look like a false prophet because I am believing the clues. You know, with time so important to us in this business world that we have, and even my wife's question this morning, I believe that that God knows our importance of time. It's really the fourth dimension. Length, breadth, and height is one, but then if a bullet goes through that sphere, what time, time is a factor also in that we can determine as a dimension. And that's life. When you waste your time, you waste your life, basically. Mm-hmm. And so I want to discuss aspects of this. Because when Peter says God is not slack, the Greek word verduno means no tarry or delay. Lots of people think God is tarrying or there is a delay. I think since 2015, when multiple when-then signs occurred, like the Pope going to Congress or like gay marriage in the Supreme Court, an abomination standing where it ought not to be in the Supreme Court or in Congress, I would just say that's when then, and that year, the biblical year began with a rare solar eclipse on the equinox, followed by a blood moon on Passover. And it says the sun will be darkened, moon turned to blood before the day of the Lord. Before means panim, face or facing the day of the Lord. Now, if something doesn't happen this year after 7 years of warning, in my opinion, it has to wait for another 7 years. Because
wow.
The Bible has a chiastic structure, like in Genesis, God created for 6 days and rested on the seventh. Man fell into sin, and Revelation is about man crawling out of sin after 7 years of tribulation. And Christ rested on the seventh day. He will cease his mediation in the seventh year, which is a sabbatical year. And my point is that for that to occur on a sabbatical year, everything has to start after a sabbatical year. And 2015 was a sabbatical year. Last year was a sabbatical year, according to some emails I got from Messianic people in Israel that wanted a donation for fruit trees they could plant in 22. I mean, in 21, but couldn't plant in 22 because of sabbatical.
Interesting. You'd use some colorful language there that I really appreciated for man to crawl out of sin. Does it take us literally 7 years for us to crawl out of a problem? I mean,
some of us longer.
I've never heard that before. I think that's really cool. I mean, yes, there are these structures and the number 7 is really important and we do this work, and then we come into rest. So what, I don't see any of us actually crawling out of sin in the last 7 years. I've always thought that America has been crawling into sin.
Well, the great majority of people are. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. But I'm seeing the last seven years as a time of judgment in which people become aware of it and aware of God and his presence. And whether they run toward him or away from him is really dependent upon their, you know, maybe they had religion shoved at them when they were a child and they're allergic to it, you know. And so they can't decide right away. But if we can live, I believe we're going to be anointed with power, as it says in Revelation 11, verse 3 to 6. I'll give power to my two witnesses, and they have the power to shut heavens, turn water to blood. That's Moses and Elijah power for 3.5 years. And then the beast gets power for 3.5, and equal time for equal sides. I mean, not unequal. They're unequal sides. God's side is going to win, but it looks like he's losing right now. But I just believe that what's going to happen when he anoints his side with power is going to change. I've seen the Super Bowl won in the last play of the game.
That's right.
and this is coming up, in my opinion.
Hmm. So you're saying, what time is it? And so I'm gathering that you're feeling that we're entering into the next 7 years of famine. That's what I'm hearing you say. Is that correct?
Yes. And I believe that somehow my expectations for the first part of May did not realize, but I am so fixed on the point that multiple signs point to this year that if it doesn't happen at second Passover, there was a time when both temples burn on the 10th of Av, the last verses of Jeremiah 52. When Nebuchadnezzar came on the 10th day, he burned the temple of the Lord. And when Josephus chronicles in his thing about when Titus came, it was the same date, okay, when the temple burned. And so 10th day of the fifth month, in fact, there even Scripture has a reference to a fast on that time. It might be then, but hang on to your hat. Let me explain. I believe that probably 90-some% of Hispanics and Jews observe Passover in early April. But I saw online when something didn't happen that I expected. You know, what's the second month? Because I believe God. Let me back up and say this. In Jeremiah 3:14, God says, I return to me, I'm married to you. He must have been regarding the covenant they made at Sinai as a marriage contract in some way.
Yes.
And so the point is that God got an ignorant bride, but this must not happen to Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that basically he is going to screen us by our understanding of timing is one thing, because be ready when I come and knock, you open immediately. Immediately presumes a previous understanding, just like James and John. They heard John the Baptist preaching about this is the Lamb of God. And so when he calls them, they immediately left their ship and their father and followed them. And it requires an intelligence, a looking for. He'll be looking for those who are looking for him and who are most intelligent about his appointed times. And so the clues about as the days of Noah or you don't understand, it's like a man traveling to a far country. Those were both provisions that ended in second Passover events, huge events. Okay.
Yeah.
And so my point is that it didn't happen in May as second Passover. I can send you a video link, a link to a video of a Messianic fellow. I believe he's Messianic, but he was saying that barley really, there weren't fields of barley ready on March 22 when that month started. Here a little, there a little, but that's not really a wave sheaf of a real harvest. And so I'm thinking that God, I think the barley typifies 144,000 people who are going to get special blessings and are going to be his special people. They're going to be sealed. So that I'm thinking that what most people observed was the extra month that gets intercalated every few years because it didn't have the barley representing the wave sheaf of 144,000. And so I'm looking for the end of this week.
Yeah.
you know, I could be wrong, but headlines in the BBC refer to bombs exploding in Jerusalem at bus stops, to a couple of them. I did that earlier this morning. But so my point is that Zechariah 14, when nations are gathered against Jerusalem, it could still escalate, you know, before the end of this week. And if not, well, maybe the 10th of Av, you know, the 10th day of the fifth month. You know, I'm not claiming to be a prophet where I've heard God or had a dream or vision or anything. I'm just looking at scripture. But I believe sometime soon it's all going to fit.
Well, you know, I haven't really looked at you as being a prophet. I've actually looked at you as being a watchman and bringing our attention to some of these things. You know, even all the way back in the book of Hebrews, we have people that were thinking that the time of the end was just around the corner. In fact, when you read the end of that book, we read about people that have been sawn in two and tortured and all these things, but never saw what they thought was coming. You know,
right.
And in their mind, Yeshua is coming right back. I mean, it wasn't going to be long, you know, but even Yeshua said at the first of Acts that it's not for us to know the times of the epochs, which the Father's fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, you know? And so I'm looking at that and I'm going, okay, does that mean we stop preparing? No, that means we look for every sign, every signal that he's coming soon, because it keeps us awake. It keeps us alert, just like you've always said. The you have a group of the five virgins, well, out of the ten, five of them go to sleep, and the other five...
All of them slept. All of them slept, it says. Yeah.
Yeah, but then there's some that wake up, and they're still alert, and they're still going, okay, let's go, or at least they prepared, is what I should say.
Right,
sorry.
Right, yeah.
Yes. So I see this as a preparation is what I'm seeing.
I thank you for your mutual sharing and affirmation, and I believe that we are very close. You can almost see it through the darkness, you know. But anyway, and talking about time clocks, you know, three time clocks. One is a thousand years like a day. I believe that the 6,000 is up as of 2015. And that if there's no slack or tarrying or no delay, the thing that's operative right now is the seven good years that we've had plenty to eat and the seven bad that are about to start, you know, and then it's over, period.
So I'm with. I mean, we've seen a lot of good money making over the last 7 years and people getting what they need. But right now with the threat that's coming down to us from the government, and we just found out that the Democrats got to go ahead and get everything they wanted in the debt ceiling. And we know that what is coming together with King Charles, and we know that there's a people are on the move to bring us into poverty. I mean, it's there.
Yeah, and slavery and a few other controlling type of things as well. The mark in the right arm was turned out to be a shot, and that's just a precursor probably.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Let me look at the other couple. The one time clock we've already mentioned is 1,000 years like a day, and I think time is up in that one. The most famous time prophecy in the Bible is Daniel 9. Sadly, the Jews couldn't count the sevens of years from the decree of Artaxerxes to the Messiah in Daniel 9, verse 24, 25. But God was...
Did I lose you? Uh-oh. Wow. How did that happen?
Mid-sentence.
Let's see if we can get this. Okay, I just sent out a note to someone who might be listening to me to see if we're actually on or off. But we just lost the call again, so we're going to see if we can pick him back up and bring him back on. Ding-a-ling-a-ling. Hey, do you guys ever remember, what was that? Was that the Hee-Haw Show? Or where the secretary won... Ding a ling, two, ring a dingy ding.
That's for old people. I don't know hee haw.
One ringy dingy.
Oh, laughing. Yeah, I don't know that one either.
Let's see if we got him back. Let's see if we pick him up.
The mailbox is full and cannot accept any messages at this time. Goodbye.
So we're not able to get that. Let's see if I'm still on. Well, you guys, let's just keep on working this. Richard, I think we lost service for him, and we'll try him back at the break again. But what are you hearing from him? I mean, when you listen to Richard, you know, it's he was thinking that there's some major impact was going to happen. Let's see if we can pick him up here now. Let's go ahead and try this. Let's see if we can pick him up. Hey, good morning, Richard. Are you back with us?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, I had a phone ringing in my ear while we were talking.
Yeah, that probably disconnected you. And so,
okay.
But you're back on right now, and you have about, 3 minutes before the break.
Oh, wow. Hard to say.
I know, right?
missed some important stuff, but if I were to summarize one thing real quick before the break, I am believing, as I see it, that I better. It's too big of a topic for 3 minutes. We'll have to just talk another time, another month. Okay. Maybe I should just let the wise guys interact a little bit and say we're there at the time. And after the break, I want to share with you the greatest story never told. You know, you yourself mentioned living by every word of God. That was Matthew 4:4. But God repeated it. Christ Yeshua repeated it in Luke 4:4. Luke 4:4, Matthew 4:4, live by every word. There are a few words we've been missing, and I look forward to sharing after the break the this greatest story never told, and it has a perfect answer, in my opinion, to a conundrum where the papacy boasts that the Trinity is the foundation of all their doctrine. We know that the Scripture shows in Revelation 13th chapter that the dragon gives the beast the power, authority, and his seat. And he is happy for that Trinity doctrine to be taught in a way that I believe what I have is a perfect answer to that, and look forward to sharing it after the break.
Yeah, so just don't hang up with this. I have you on the screen, so I know when I lose you, and you were able to call back and join in. Really great. But just hang on there for a minute, guys. Any questions that you have for Richard on that first half? You know, because what I was thinking when I was listening to him is that whole preparation of the heart and spirit sort of thing. You know, many times we think that we're knowing something, but in actuality, maybe we're misinterpreting or just not reading. Hang on tight. We're going to be right on back.
Welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. His kingdom, his people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. And I don't know about you two, but I'm finding this fascinating once again.
It is.
And he's a man also that can help you out with your health, you know. So look him up, Dr. Richard Ruling, and you'll be blessed knowing that you can fix yourself. spiritually and physically. So welcome with us, Dr. Richard. I'm glad you're still on the air with us, waiting patiently. So thank you, sir.
My privilege. God bless you. And I hope that your listeners all believe in tithing to the where they get fed spiritually. And Hebrew Nation has to be one of the places that they get a blessing. I just thank you for your support with my ability to share widely. I believe God is looking for a special group, and I believe Hebrew Nation comes as close to it as anybody at this point. And heads up, things are coming soon.
They are coming soon. You know, just before the break, you were telling us about something that you felt was a solid answer to things, and you were looking forward to sharing that with us.
The greatest story never told.
The greatest story never told. So what is that, sir?
Okay. There's a tension in that text. Whenever we hear something that somehow doesn't square with the text, we need to look closely. And in Amos 3:7, God says he won't do anything without revealing it. And so that means it's all revealed in the writings of the prophets, if we could divide that, understand them correctly best. And but the other tension is that Proverbs 25:2 says that it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the honor of kings to search it out. And when Israel made a covenant at Exodus 19 with God, he says, "You'll be a kingdom of priests and kings to me." You know, well, so he wants a covenant keeping people. He wants us to be kings, but we should search out the matter. And so it's concealed. And this and I believe that we've glossed over some words here and there. If we're to live by every word of God, the conception of who God is, what he's like, et cetera, we may have missed. And this here's the story that's it's Romans 1:20 says, "Whatever may be known about God may be understood from the things that are made, even his Godhead." And if we can understand the Godhead from the things that are made, and we go back, and by the way, I've been sharing these seven seals from Revelation 6th chapter that have a contextual link to different topics. The fact is that they all have a sevenfold emphasis in some way. Just like God's name is replaced by Lord in all capital letters in the Ten Commandments. Yeah, you can see Lord in all caps seven times. Well, seven times God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, male and female." Okay. And if you go to Genesis 5, 1 and 2, again, it says, "In the day that God created man, he created him in male, in his likeness, male and female." That it actually is twice it says male and female, and five times it says in his likeness, in his image, etc. Yep. So, total of seven times, I think, is the truth for end time that we have overlooked. And of course, we have no problem with the Heavenly Father. You know, the Lord's Prayer begins that way: "Our Father, which art in heaven." And the most common verse in the that Christians know and quote, John 3:16, that God gave His only begotten Son. Okay. Well, so-and-so begot so-and-so and so on. We forget what that means when it comes to the begotten Son. But I believe that from eternity, he was before. Let me back up and say, as we go through the scripture, and I'm going to try to do this chronologically to some extent, that I believe that this is not just some mystical spirit. Christ, Yeshua, took our form to become a man, to be a communicative agent. I believe, on the other hand, the Holy Spirit took a form of a spirit, just like steam can be it permeates the room, steam does, but it can be a vessel of water where it's just there it is, you know. And I believe that it shouldn't be what I believe. I'm going to give you the text, okay, to go with this. But I earlier said the Heavenly Father begs something else, and that is Paul says in Galatians 4:26, "Jerusalem above is the mother of us all." Mm-hmm. Well, a city cannot be a mother. But cities are named for people, important persons. Washington, D.C. was for an important person. Jefferson City, Missouri is for an important person. Lincoln, Nebraska is for an important person. Okay, Abraham Lincoln, best loved president, et cetera. And so Jerusalem is, I believe, her name. if you would, although there was no J. Yerushalem, okay, mm-hmm. It was a Yod instead of a J. Yods were replaced by J's mm-hmm. by Jesuits, I believe, Society of Jesus, et cetera.
Yeah.
So anyway, the bottom line is that there is a heavenly mother, and believe it or not, and we've glossed over this, Isaiah 37th chapter, around verses 22 and 23, the context of this, and by the way, it's also in 2 Kings 19, I believe it is, chapter. Actually, two chapters are almost word-to-word the same, and it means that God has felt it was so important, he didn't want it to be deleted somewhere. Both those chapters, Sennacherib's at the gates of Jerusalem, knocking and saying, mocking the God of Israel, Rabshakeh did, saying, your God can't deliver us, and et cetera. And so Hezekiah is in sackcloth and ashes in the temple, sends Eliakim, who has the key of David, by the way. I researched this, the key of David, while I put on his shoulders. Eliakim goes to Isaiah to find out, is there any hope for us?
Mm-hmm.
And he comes back with the answer in verses 22 and 23 that says, the virgin, the daughter of Zion, the daughter of Jerusalem, has shaken her head at him whom he has blasphemed. Well, blasphemy is the sin of speaking against God, and she must have been God, because in a sense that that night 185,000 Assyrians were dead outside the gates of Jerusalem. Mm. God delivered them for their mocking him. Or her, okay, in the sense that she was part, the covenant name, as I understand it, represents Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, pictorially can represent the father, the Yod, right hand and owner and ownership, giving, receiving. Mm-hmm. The Hay as in light or window or rain. And then Vav, looks like a nail, concrete nail, and it's about, and it means balance beam. Things depend on this. This is Yeshua. So that the Godhead is represented by Yod and Hay and Vav and Hay, the daughter. And, we see her, I think, in Proverbs 8, how does wisdom cry? She lifts up her voice. It personifies her as a she. Mm-hmm. And it says she was brought forth. The wording in Hebrew could imply childbirth brought forth before the mountains were, before the heavens were laid and so on. So I think that, and in verse 30, by the way, she was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. I think they were brother and sister, and they grew up together, loving each other and looking forward to marriage when man got lost in sin. And they stepped into the gap and said, we will die for them, or we will work for their salvation. And and while they put their marriage on hold, basically, so that when in Revelation, when the Spirit and the bride say come, it's about a wedding. It's not about us. It's about them, you know, in my opinion. And
yeah.
And the support for this partly is that if you realize that Song of Solomon is one of the least understood books, and it really is not about Solomon at all. It's about the true wisest king of Israel, Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
And it says in Song of Solomon 5, verse 2, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was not about Solomon's wives.
Mm.
It was about the dove that descended on him at his baptism.
Mm.
And she gave him wisdom to speak. If he had not yielded to the wisdom that he got from her, he could have easily taken Mary Magdalene or you know, got involved in some way, and he would have died on the cross forever.
Mm-hmm.
They took a horrible risk, except that they believed and knew that man, if we surrender to the Spirit, can be wise, live wisely, and well. And so, Yeshua proved it. But most people in this world have been through lots of errors and troubles and woes, And because we want to do our own thing, as the song says, "I did it my way." Okay, well, that's a good way to get lost. And so I just say we need to surrender, and I believe that God will have 144,000 people who get that blessing and are blessed by the Spirit to live in a surrendered way. The new covenant has an end time context, the new covenant promise in Jeremiah 31. If you look at Jeremiah 31, it begins at the same time, verse 1, but the previous verse is, "In the latter day you consider it at the same time, and in that chapter I will bring them from the north country, gather them from the coast, the lame, the blind, the great company will return there." This is about the gathering to Israel, okay? And I believe we're looking forward to a time when we can all go over there and be part of a second Exodus and his kingdom. I don't know if we're going to go to Sinai or not like they did, but the fact is that the Sinai, not only Moses was called there, but Elijah ran back there, and Christ was in 40 days in the wilderness, and Paul went to also in Galatians it says he went there. So maybe we go there too. I don't know. You know, but I believe that when God's going to establish a kingdom, and it's not just the kingdom of heaven is within you. I, when the disciples asked, "Are you going to restore the kingdom?" in Acts 1 that you referred to earlier, he says it's not for you to know the times and seasons. And that phrase, times and seasons, is only found three times in the King James. Mm-hmm. It's found in Daniel 2 when God sets up kings and takes them down. Yeshua referred to it in Acts 1:7 when he replied, "It's not for you to know." But Paul says, "Of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write, for you know them perfectly. Mm-hmm. For the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night." And I believe the day of the Lord is an extension of the phrase night of the Lord in Exodus 12. That was judgment came, night of the Lord. And I believe the end time will begin like that with this sudden event. In my opinion, it's an earthquake, because the wedding parables of Luke 12:36, he's going to come and knock. And the only other place where Yeshua knocks is Revelation 3:20, for a lukewarm church that ended in an earthquake. And that's how sudden destruction, a huge earthquake. Isaiah 2:12 refers to the day of the Lord. It's the first place where that phrase is used, day of the Lord, in the Bible. And it says in verse 19, he will shake the earth terribly. Mm-hmm. Well, that will be the original terrorist, I guess. But people are going to fear God at that point, because what are we doing to this planet? Maybe they'll blame the Israelis for hiding a bomb under Jerusalem when the Muslims take the city, or what. I think Zechariah 14 says things are going to escalate and nations will be gathered, and et cetera. So I think when they celebrate that Allah has no son, I think the Lion of Judah is going to roar, and the earth will shake. Heavens and earth will shake. So anyway, I sidetracked on this thing of the greatest story never told, but I need to deal with New Testament. And there's been a cover-up of this, because why would you translate, I think it's in John 12 or 14, when he says, "I will not," the King James says, "I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." Mm-hmm. Well, the word is not comfortless. The Greek word is orphanos. I will not leave you orphans. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why would they translate that as comfortless? And she's the comforter. Well, you know, it's a mystifying of it, and Babylon is mystical. But the point is that he is our spiritual, planting his seed in our hearts, and she is the spiritual mother. Mm-hmm. With groanings that cannot be uttered, she intercedes for us in Romans 8:26, with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Catholic Church has Mary as the co-redemptrix. That's baloney. Mm-hmm. It is her, okay? They have twisted just about every important truth. They have a twist on it, but it's replacing a very real person who has taken the form of a spirit to be in our hearts of everyone. But when we get to the end of time, the chapter of I need to explain that Daniel 8:14 talks about 2,300 days, mm-hmm. and that's almost 7 years. Mm-hmm. And the the prophecy of Daniel 9 is cut off. Kothok is a Hebrew word, is cut off of that 2300 evening warnings, so that Messiah was cut off at the first part. In other words, of the 77s, starting in 457, Messiah came on time, you know, and was lived his life, and then Jerusalem was destroyed, like Daniel 9. But the 77s of almost 7 years, I believe when the last day of atonement comes and we are sealed, then the seven last plagues fall, and she can withdraw from us and is no longer in our hearts. We will be sealed by her, in a sense that we will be tested to see if we will sin. And I believe that we must not sin after being sealed, or it will prove Satan's point that God's law cannot be kept. He's been attacking God's law, saying nobody keeps it. You know, who has? Well, a few, one here, one there. But, you know, they've all sinned, really, at some point. We just don't have any record of Joseph or Daniel sinning. But the idea is that I believe we have to – God is staking the honor of his kingdom on a group of people who can live well the new covenant promise when he gives it to us, that we will love to do the right things and not want to do the wrong things, or rather die, as Daniel said. Oh, King, we throw us into the furnace if you want, but we're not going to bow down. And so I believe that that's operative for us, can be, and high reward to travel with Christ wherever he goes in eternity, and have our home in Jerusalem, the 144,000. The 23rd Psalm ends, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, that's about the Lord is my shepherd. It's the song of Moses and the Lamb. The Lamb says, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, so that's I was memorized the 23rd Psalm. My mother gave me a quarter when I was a boy, 12 years old, maybe something like that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just say we can do that. And I see also the fact that further evidence, Revelation 1, verse 13, John saw one like the Son of Man. Mm-hmm. Gird about the paps, and the Greek word paps is mastos. It means female breast. Mm-hmm. So she is the one walking among the candlesticks, okay, mm-hmm. with female breasts. And in that first chapter, and at the end of each chapters 2 and 3, let him that hears, has the ear, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay. And so she is the one that is ministering to the churches while he is in heaven. Huh. And the final, it was my privilege to take an upper division course in college in Revelation. And the Greek has what is called an apexegetical chi. The Greek mm-hmm. word chi, K-A-I, alpha really is, et cetera, kappa, alpha, I don't know what the yod maybe. Mm-hmm. The point is that it is a conjunction and, but it is really means that is to say. So when you read and it says the Spirit and the Bride say come, it really should mean, because of the apexegetical chi, it means the Spirit. That is to say, the Bride says, come. Mm-hmm. And so it's the Holy Spirit that will be the Bride, and we can be there for the wedding. And I think it's going to be huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, they risked everything. How she slew 185,000 Assyrians because she was mocked, but she had to stay under the cross and watch her lover be killed. Mm. I mean, yeah, and not step in and call a halt to all this baloney. Mm. So they risked everything for us, but did it well, and we can be part of that somehow in the wedding that's coming. And this is the greatest story never told.
Mm. Yeah, I think there'll be a lot of people that have, you know, we all have different versions of what that might be, and there might be different perceptions. But I do believe that there's a Yeshua shines light into the darkness. And if we go back to your text in 1 Thessalonians 5, we'll be shown that light. Because it says here, while you were saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pangs upon a woman with child. They shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you like a thief. You're sons of light and sons of day. And we are not of night nor of darkness. I find those fascinating, that when we allow ourselves to worship and to be in Messiah, when we take that on, we're able to see light and we're able to come to him and say, you know, I want to be a part of your kingdom. I don't want to be a part of my kingdom. I don't want to be part of this world's kingdom. I want to be a part of your kingdom. And that's, I think we're all going to be directed towards truth and light. Thank goodness he's coming. And we'll be able to say, hey, fix us up, Father. Help us come to an understanding.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to share this here with you today just because you're a doctor. And I wanted to get this out to you. I was trying to find out how smart we were as people, right? And I found out.
And you were disappointed?
No, I was not disappointed. I was looking at this because they're able to measure the brain now. And that if I were to take 1 cubic millimeter of brain tissue, like one, okay, that's a small little piece of my brain, actually contains 1 betabyte of data. Aaron,
wow.
A betabyte is 1,000 times larger than a terabyte. If we were to bring this down, that means my brain memory is capable, because our brain has 298,750 betabytes of data. That means I can hold 12 billion Blu-ray discs in my brain, which is 60 billion hours of hard
wow.
of HD video.
Wow.
We are fearfully and wonderfully made, Richard, and I'm always amazed at how quick you access your data in your brain with all those Bible verses. So I just thought I'd share that with you.
Well, thank you. God bless you. I you know, there have been people that have done far. I feel puny having memorized a chapter here or a chapter there in Bible, when some people have memorized whole books of the Bible, and some have are close to doing a testament, you know, et cetera. I just say, wow. But we will have eternity to learn from what God, you know, he is infinite, and we're scratching the surface.
Yes, I can hardly wait to sit at his feet and let the light shine down on us so we can actually expand this brain of ours. Hallelujah. Richard, before we let you go, how are people able to get a hold of you?
My email is my last name, Ruhling, RUHLING7, at Juno, JUNO.com. They can write me. And I have some websites. TheBridegroomComes.wordpress.com is one that explains the coming as an earthquake, just like Egypt, a sudden event that initiates end time events like the knock at the if God is not going to do anything without revealing it, but it's not obvious to us, it's encoded. He encoded the earthquake as a knock, or as a roar of the Lion of Judah, when the Lord shall roar, the heavens and earth shall shake. So it's different ways that it's being said, and we just kind of gloss over it as, you know, sudden destruction. What does that mean? Well, we think nuclear. I don't think so, you know, et cetera. But those things. Hey, the other thing is on this topic, and let's talk about this again next time maybe, is the day of the Lord is a day of darkness, Joel 2:2. And we could have a EMP attack with the grid going down and no electricity.
Easy.
Could be part of that, you know.
Easy.
So we'll talk again on that maybe a month from now or something.
Before you go, you have a book on health. Can you just say what that is?
Yeah, the title is Health, Happiness, and Destiny Come from Wise Choices. Just like health, if you make good choices on healthy habits, you have health. That's the product of it. But
all right.
Happiness is obedience to the moral law, et cetera. Okay.
We'll see you later, Richard. Be blessed.
Okay. Thank you. Same to you. Bye-bye, brother.
back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. Hebrew Nation, His Kingdom, His People, and your radio station.
Okay, so we're back connected, so I must have hit it again. Hey, thank you. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys, and we had some dead air time there. I apologize, but we're back here with you. And love you a bunch. We just got done listening to Richard Ruling, and he was talking to us about being prepared for the end of days. He's written a number of books. One of them was called Mega Quake, and there was the idea of the Lord was going to be coming after the second Passover. That didn't happen. And he recognizes that. So we're going, okay, so what's going on? What did you guys gather from listening to Richard? Anything really spark your interest? But for me, it was this whole concept of preparing anyways. We don't know, but we still prepare. We still watch.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of a thought that I had in there of like it's compared to a thief in the night, and he also said that it's not going to be a surprise to you because you're prepared.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and so when you think about the idea of our own home, you know, an actual human thief comes into our home, if we're prepared for, you know, that possibility of it happening, mm-hmm. It's not going to be – we're not going to be caught on guard, you know, off of guard. Because we've prepared for that possibility. And so somebody does show up, hey, we're there to prepare, you know, to take care of the situation. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that's, you know, with a gun or just saying knowledge, you know, of saying, hey, get out of my house, we're here, scares a person away. We're prepared for that possibility. So if we prepare for the return of Yeshua, when it happens, it's not a surprise that this thing is happening.
You know, we started this show off today about this idea of knowing my identity, and I can't know my identity unless I have security. Security being in knowing who the King of Kings is and resting in Him. That's security.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here from you from the beginning till the end. I've been the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I'm consistently in front of you. I consistently lead you.
Mm-hmm.
If we make that choice to allow Him to lead, right?
Yeah.
So even the pictures of Israel coming through the wilderness, the pillar rises up and it says move. And Israelites pull up their stakes, their tents, and they go, okay, I'm ready to move. We're called to listen. We're called to be aware. I think that's the first sign of wisdom, is being willing to listen, willing to hear. Tuck, I mean, you've talked about many times finding your security in Messiah and being, you know who you are. So are there any doubts that ever come up into your mind that maybe say to you, oh, I just need to quit following Messiah or quit following God because of the times of the end and they seem so frustrating to me, or what? How do you keep going?
One step after the other. It's like we've talked about how do you prepare. My interpretation that I'm coming to understand in recent months is that you don't stop doing anything you've been doing for years and years and years. Following the Messiah, you continue to follow the Messiah. You don't stop and wait. And wait for Him to show up, mm-hmm. wait for the Holy Spirit to come, wait. You keep living your life under the Messiah. You keep working towards understanding Yahweh. You keep grasping it at the Holy Spirit and studying your word and doing this and doing that, and you're always prepared because you're not waiting for something special. You are just doing His will, and His will is preparation. I don't know how to say it any clearer than that we have to live our lives readily for Him, and if we do that, even poorly, we will be much closer to being ready when the stuff hits the fan, because we know it will happen, and it's not going to be a surprise when certain things happen that we, that's prophetic, you know. All these things begin to happen, and we're ready because we've studied the Word. We're ready because we've been living His will. And that in itself is probably the greatest challenge of mankind, womankind, is to live His will, because most of us don't understand that.
We started off, too, with looking at the book of Hebrews, and we're talking about all these people who kept the faith. They were tortured, sawn in two, all those sorts of things. Terrible, right? And many of us have had experienced those things, even today. And notice in verse 39 of Hebrews 11, and all these people, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. They didn't receive the kingdom yet, okay? Because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should be made perfect. Well, what's that better? How did these people move? What Tuck kept saying is that they just kept moving.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the faith. I'm going to walk in the faith. I'm going to trust this faith. And I'm going to abide in it. And so he even goes on in chapter 12. He says, therefore, I love it when Paul always does that. Therefore.
All these things.
Okay.
But there's this.
Yeah. Since we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. See, I think it's these concepts of we forget who we are, we go back into sin, we get all entangled, messed up, confused, and we forget to just run the race, like what you're saying. Step forward, we're in it. He created me and you. He's coming back for us. So now let's stay put. Let me give you guys some texts. See how you respond to them. Okay?
Okay.
This is some identity text. First one, I am saved. This is found in 2 Timothy 1:9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Who, being Yahweh, has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Messiah Yeshua. So, what are we called out to do? The first thing I have to know is I have a holy calling.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing to know. So as I'm searching out my identity, rather than trying to figure out what the world's telling me, I should probably first figure out, okay, Father, what's the holy calling that You gave me?
Yeah.
I have security in You. I know that You're the King. I know You're the Almighty. But you made me be born on this earth, right? So
there's a reason I'm here.
Yeah. Here's another one with identity. All right. This is Colossians 2:10. You are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. I'm complete in whom? Okay. I'm complete in Him. Mm-hmm. I am made complete. Here's another one, 1 Thessalonians 1:4. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that Yahweh loves you and has chosen you to be His people. Whoa! So I've been given a holy calling. I'm complete in Him, and I'm chosen. I'm forgiven. It's number 4. I write to you, little brethren, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. So if even if I'm David, who's pronouncing in Psalms 51, I was born into iniquity because out of my mother's womb I was born a sinner.
Right. Yeah.
If I repent, if you change my heart and I lay myself before you and I repent, my sins are forgiven. We always forget that little one, mm-hmm. right? Like in today's world, we're always saying, well, you know, I'm made the way who I am. Well, I'm made as a sinner, okay, but I have been called and I have been given a holy calling.
We have the choice to move out of that mindset.
Yeah, that mind. I love that, that mindset. But I have to ask for repentance. And if I do that, I move to this. I'm a new creation. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation, and all the old things have been passed away, and all things become new. Wow. I love that one. Again, repent and be baptized. I'm a child of Yahweh. 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God, children of Yahweh. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with this stuff? I think it was last week. Aaron, did you look up the Commonwealth Games of 2022 in Britain? And Well, you know what the Commonwealth Games are.
No.
That's like an athletic event, kind of like the Olympics.
Oh, okay.
Okay, not as quite as big on the big scale, but it's still pretty big. It's the second biggest event.
Okay.
In England.
It's overseen by Charles.
Huh.
And then his mother was still alive, and they brought up this huge pageantry show beforehand. Know what it was?
I'm afraid to guess, but I think I know.
Big old bull, breathing steam. It's the idol of Baal.
Oh, okay. Went a different way than I thought. Yeah. Okay.
And you have all this story that's intertwined showing how people were to grab the promises of Baal and then worship him. So it was a long presentation.
Huh.
And Baal was gathered by worshipers in their little gowns, and then they all kneeled before him and actually worshipped this calf. On top of the bull was a woman riding the bull. I mean, the imagery was so amazing, okay? But even now we have people that are going, you know, I don't know God. Who is God? I don't want to know God.
Yeah.
Because he confines me. But here it says,
yeah, I can't do what I want to do. I can't do the drugs that I want. I can't do the, you know, there's a long list of stuff.
Yeah, it's a long stuff. But it says here in 1 John, the world does not know us because it did not know him. So what are we expecting? What should we expect? From this world, I mean, what are we going to expect?
They're fools.
Yeah,
I mean,
thank you.
We expect how anybody can expect anything from a creator about looking at his rules.
Yeah.
I mean, make a law, make a game, make a program for anything, and there's going to be protocol that you have to follow to make it work.
Yeah.
That's true of anything, any small organization, any large organization. For the God of creation, the same thing. We're patterned after him.
Mm.
We're created after him. He's got rules. We have rules. Why is it so difficult? I just don't understand people there. They want it their way, but they don't want to look at the truth.
Mm.
They want to look at the reality of things.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's a creator, and we all think that there's been a creator, it's just a matter of your definition of that.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have a set of rules because he's the creator. He's the one that made everything.
But the rules, people get confused by that. But he says his rules are life.
They are.
You know, so rather than restrictions, they're air breathing, heart thumping, blood pounding rules of life.
Yeah. Don't just discredit it because it's not your way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the king of the world, king of the universe.
Yeah. you know, when I was going over, I was so dumbfounded by this research showing how much our brain is capable of doing. How in the world could that have just happened?
Well, it's not. It's been going on for eons. I mean, that's when we can use this, that's when we'll be able to time travel. Whatever you want to term this.
Yeah, but I like you. When we use this,
we don't come close. There are some geniuses in this world
that you actually use it.
Use it, you know, maybe 5-10%. We use maybe 0.5% to 1%.
Sometimes I'm thinking that.
And then there are national leaders who don't use it.
I know, right? Well, here's another truth. I am redeemed, Ephesians 1:7. In him, in Messiah, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Wow. I'm saved. I'm complete. I'm chosen. I'm forgiven. I'm a new creation. I'm a child of Yahweh. I'm redeemed. I am a light. In Matthew, Yeshua said this, Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Does that give you a job description, Aaron?
Mm-hmm. A little bit, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I would think it would. If I'm a light, what am I shining?
Yeah.
So I have to ask myself.
What am I putting off? What am I showing?
Well, think of it this.
What is my example?
Think of it this way. I'm in a lighthouse, worn ships, danger, right? And so I'm trying to figure out my identity here, and I've been secure in these promises. So one of my jobs should be to tell people, danger, you know, danger. It's fascinating to me watching the pollution of our mind occur while people are terribly immoral, and they wonder why they're getting sick.
Yeah.
Well, you're doing things that are gross. You're being part of bodily fluids from other people. We don't want to get hugely descriptive here, and you're wondering why you're dying.
Yeah.
And then you want to blame other people for it. The Lord told you.
No. Be
clean.
I certainly love free will that he gave us.
Yeah, right?
The freedom of choice. Well, control things except when I want to do something.
Yeah, right. I want to have sex with lots of partners. Yeah. And it's his fault that I got sick.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really? just like, you know, we know that there's this thing called gravity that pulls everybody to, you know, the solid earth. So let's just jump off a building. You know, because it's not going to happen, right? Nothing's going to bad happen. No, there's certain things that are results of decisions.
Which leads me to another text which says, I am Yahweh's temple. And we find that in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know you are the temple of Yahweh and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If I know that, if that's my identity, shouldn't I be taking care of this body just a little bit?
Yeah.
You know, rather than just thrashing it. Wow. I'm more than a conqueror. That's Romans 8:37. We are more than conquerors through Messiah who loved us. That means I'm able to conquer. I'm on the winning team. That's pretty cool. I've been called, 1 Corinthians 7:17. But as God has distributed to each one, as Yahweh has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordained to all the churches. So basically, I should look for that calling. You know, Aaron, I mean, being a father and stuff like that, how important is it to let kids know what they do well? I would think that's pretty important.
From my experience, definitely, yeah. Because when you are not telling them the things that they've done right or good, well, they don't know which things to keep doing because we certainly go out and tell them, hey, don't do that. That one's bad. Don't do that. Then they start thinking, oh, well, I'm just bad if we don't know, oh, there's good things too.
Right? Man, when you encourage someone, that's it. You got it. Way to put the puzzle together. Nice coloring.
Mm-hmm.
I love what you just made. Thanks for cleaning your room. That was wonderful.
And see, one of the things that I've tried to do is when I'm telling my girls, you know, not to do a thing, or even when I'm telling them, you know, something to do, I explain why.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, they're 5 and 7 right now, so they're not going to get all of the explanations, but I don't know what they're going to get and what they're not going to get. So if I give them, you know, all the information, I know they're going to get some of it.
You know, I just wish I could retrace some of my steps, you know, because back in the old days, you might yell at your kids going, you didn't clean up your room. But like what you just said, if I say, thanks for cleaning your room, you just help the family be prepared for a visitor.
Yeah. See there? Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for cleaning your room. You just helped the family get prepared to go on a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the flip?
Yeah.
In the brain? And Yahweh's saying that to us, I've forgiven you, I've clothed you, I've moved you.
That's the thing. We just need to start with what Scripture tells us, and that's believe in Yahweh and trust in Him. And He's going to take it from there.
Amen.
From the living word, His light now shines, the darkness must flee.